نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس استكبر وكان من الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected brothers and elders, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels, the jinn, and every one of creation to bow down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Every creation fulfilled this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bowed down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, with the exception of Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains regarding this incident in the Holy Quran and states, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. That when we said to the malaika to bow down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, every one of the malaika had bowed down except Iblis. Why? استَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That he was overcome by pride and haughtiness, and he was from the disbelievers. Now, my dear brothers, Iblis had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for several thousands of years. That despite being from the species of jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had elevated him and exalted him to reach the status of the malaika. Now, when this was the initial status of Iblis, then what was the cause and what was the reason for him to fall and fall so hard? I just mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, istakbara wa kana min al-kafiri. It was pride and haughtiness and unwillingness to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said to Allah, khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min teen. That, O Allah, you have created me from fire and you have created him from sand. The property of fire is to rise, and the property of sand is to remain low. Hence, according to logic, or logically, he is supposed to bow down before me, because I am made from fire. Now, my dear brothers, he forgot who he was speaking to. He forgot that the being who created everything has the right and has the power to command as he pleases. He can do what he wants. The servant has no right whatsoever to go against the command of the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addressed Iblis saying, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. That get out of my mercy, get out of paradise, you are from the accursed ones. My dear brothers, the point that I'm trying to get to is that when the root cause for the ruin and destruction of Iblis was the unwillingness to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we understand and we deduce that the path of salvation and acceptance is in wholeheartedly submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we understand the wisdom of the command or not. The ulama explain what is true worship. True worship is wholeheartedly submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reading salah, fasting the month of Ramadan, going for hajj, giving zakah, etc. Those things are in his place, are fundamentals. But together with that, when we are faced in any situation, any circumstance, any problem, then complete submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't ask any questions, we don't attach any conditions. We should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any condition, any circumstance. If we have to look in the life of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, then we will see that this was a salient feature in their lives. That whatever they may have faced, whatever they may have gone through, they fulfilled the criteria for acceptance. And what was that? Wholeheartedly submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have to look at examples in the galaxy of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, there are many examples. One we just heard, About a month back, Qurbani Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. But another example in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. If we have to look at his life, then we will see he was living in a country which was steeped in idol worship. And his people were idolaters. His own father was a manufacturer of idols. In this condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to see the level of submission of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to see whether Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam will incline towards his people and his father. And he will leave out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or whether he will incline to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave out his people and his father. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him such that he was a rock of steadfastness. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put him in this position, then he conveyed the message. And he's told his people to leave out this idol worship. After advising his people, after advising his father, and seeing that they were not willing to listen to him, and not willing to listen to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains regarding this incident in the Holy Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Then when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father and his people, that I am absolved from that which you are worshipping. That means I will not join you in what you are doing. That means after advising his people and his father, he did not worry that they may rebuke me, or what they might tell me. No, he immediately moved away from them. In the 28th chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ مَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةِ. That we totally oppose your ways. And enmity has become apparent between us and you. Until you all leave what you all are doing. So we understand this aspect of submission in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, with this example, what did he show? He showed that the value system of iman, and that is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the value system of kufr, that is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can never coexist. Why? The value system of iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rests upon the foundation of total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the value system of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rests upon being unleashed to do as one pleases, whichever way it may be. And iman advocates what? Righteousness, goodness. A person himself lives a life of simplicity, but yet his goal and objective is to what? Is to serve mankind whichever way possible. Yet the value system of disbelief in Allah, of a kafir, is what? It teaches one to remain unleashed. Teaches one to follow his base desires. And to do as he pleases, whether through any means, adultery, etc. Hence, if you look at a believer, what is a believer? A believer is an embodiment of compassion. As I mentioned, he lives a life of simplicity. But his aim and goal is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To serve humanity. Basically, my point is, every facet of his life is submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at another example in the life of a sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Let us look at this example and apply it to ourselves and what is our condition. That once Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu was once invited to a walima. And upon entering the venue, then he had realized that music was being played. So upon hearing this music, what will we do? We'll say, no, it's one night. Tomorrow we'll make tawbah. How do we have guarantee that we will pass that night? But what did he do immediately upon hearing this music? The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, Al-ghina'u yunbitu al-nifaqa fil qalb. كَمَا يُنْبِتُ الْمَاءُ الزَّرَعِ. That music creates hypocrisy in the heart, just as water causes crops to grow. So immediately this came within him, and he had moved away from that gathering. The people asked him, why did you go away? So he said, مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. That the person who increases to a nation who are involved in sin, that is, if he is like from amongst them. So I left this because this is prevented in the Quran and Hadith. My dear brothers, look how conscious he was of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. That every one of my people will enter Jannah except those who refuse. Naturally, Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, قِيلَ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That who will refuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. That the one who obeys me, then he will enter Jannah. But the one who disobeys me, then he has refused. So we understand that in order to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to follow the ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Quran, there's one verse, the reason it was revealed, some people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had claimed to be true lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set the standard to show what is true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ, say to them, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So my dear brothers, the path of salvation, how do we reach this salvation? How do we reach this submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to firstly follow the injunction that I mentioned to us in the Holy Quran. And secondly, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many, many more examples. Another beautiful example is the example of Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. It's a lengthy incident. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him a lot of children. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to test Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu, but my dear brothers, we should not think that why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing a Nabi? A Nabi is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should he test him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا. That the people who will get the most difficulties are the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ. Then the pious one, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Then the like to. Why? Because the closer we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, wished to test Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his children. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken away his health also. And there was no part in his body that was left sound except his heart and his tongue. Everything had gone away from him. But let us look at this example. And let us look at how he dealt with the situation. And how he didn't ask any questions and why. He reached us the stage that Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was left in the edge of the city. Everybody had forsaken him. And the only person who used to help him was his wife, Layya. And in the daytime he would be there, and in the evening she would come and help him out. In the daytime she would go and work. So once she had told him that, oh Ayyub alayhi salam, why don't you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this difficulty of yours? Subhanallah, look at the reply of a Nabi of Allah alayhi salam. He said, oh Layya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me 70 years of prosperity. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me 70 years of difficulty, then I have the right to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this Nabi. submission to the command of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained this upon me. I will accept it. Yazid bin Maysara says that when Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was in this condition, then even in this difficult state, in this difficult condition, what he had done, he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "Oh Allah, when you had given me everything, when you had given me health, when you had given me wealth, when you had given me children, there was no part of my heart except the love of these things that filled my heart. But now when you have taken away all these things, you have taken away my health, my wealth, my children, now my heart is solely for you. That means I am totally for you and you are totally for me. That means I don't love anything else besides you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And in this condition, in this difficulty, total submission to the command of Allah, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Anni massaniya dhur wa anta arhamur rahimin." That difficulty has afflicted me, but, oh Allah, no matter what has difficult, no matter what difficulty has afflicted me, no matter what circumstance I am in, but you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. So after some time, Mufassirin mentioned some 10 years that he was in this difficulty. After some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his dua. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. That we had accepted his dua. We had removed the difficulty that he was going through. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْرَهُ مَعْهُمْ. That we had given him back his family. And we had given him more than he had before. Why? Because he was patient and he had total submission and he understood that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has better installed for me. Let us look at the life of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had once purchased some cushions for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lean against. And she had left it in one room of the house. And these cushions happened to have some pictures of animate objects upon them. So upon entering the home, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak eyes had fell upon these cushions. So immediately when he saw it, he moved away from this room. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she perceived what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perturbed about something. So without justifying herself, without asking any questions, she had asked, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? I seek forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Rasul. But can you explain to me my wrong?" See, she didn't justify her stance. She didn't ask why are you unhappy. She didn't ask why, for what reason. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the people who have made these pictures will be punished on the day of Qiyamah. They will be asked to give life to these pictures. And he had mentioned after that the angels do not enter such a home which has animate objects in them. This lesson was so deeply entrenched in the heart of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha that on another occasion which she had seen a cloth which had pictures of animate objects upon them, then what she had done, immediately she tore it into pieces. Why this lesson? Total submission that my Allah's Rasul has said this. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying it, then this will definitely bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that following the injunctions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, together with that, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to do and what he has told us to stay away from. There are countless incidents in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. I have mentioned a few. But there's another example also. The example of Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Let us look at this mother in this condition, in this difficulty that she went through. And look at her submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she was previously married, but then she got married to Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. From her previous marriage, she had a son whose name was Anas radiallahu anhu. Thereafter, she got married to Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them a child. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them a child, then this child had reached not of age, but a little bit bigger. Then the child was a handsome youngster. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to test the parents. And this child became very, very ill. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu would frequently go to visit, on a daily basis he would go to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was very, very perturbed and he was worried about his child. Nevertheless, as normal, he went to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi and left his child. Now, when he was gone the one day to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this child had passed away. And when this child had passed away, then the mother, look at her, look at the condition of this mother. She didn't complain. She didn't immediately go frantic and start screaming. No. She knew this was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did she do? She told her son, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, from the previous marriage, that, "Oh Anas, go and call your father Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. But when you are going, do not tell him what had happened. I will tell him what has occurred." So Anas radiallahu anhu fulfills this command of his mother. And he goes to tell Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu comes home as normal. And when he comes home, naturally he asks, "How's his son?" So look at the reply of this mother. So this mother, Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she says, "He is more in peace now than he ever was before." That means, he is more in peace now than he ever was before. So naturally the father thought that, you know what, he must be okay, he must be fine. His sickness must have subsided. So, thereafter the mother, Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, presented food to him. He was fasting that day. She didn't tell him anything as yet. And that night they had shared the bed. So the next morning he woke up to go as normal to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before leaving to go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had told him, look how she puts it to him, that, "Oh Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, if we have to lend a household anything and they ask for their item back, are we allowed to hold it back?" Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu naturally said, "No, we are not. Because it's their item, they borrowed it from us. I mean, they took it from us on loan. I mean, we took it from them on loan. So naturally they have the right to ask for it back." So Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha says, "Seek forgiveness on behalf of your son. Seek reward on behalf of your son." Why? Your son has passed away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him to us as an amanat, as a trust. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken his trust away. Naturally, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was perturbed. And he said, "You waited the whole night and now you are telling me. You shared the bed with me in the night and now you are telling me." Nevertheless, he goes to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He explains to him the whole incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, "A'arrastum al-layla? Did you spend the night with your wife?" Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu says, "Yes." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dua and he said, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant blessings in the night of yours." Then after some time, as Umm Sulaym, as Abu Talha radiallahu anhu were traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then when they were going and then when they were on their way back, my dear brothers, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu had intense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exited Madinah Munawwara and entered Madinah Munawwara, then Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu's desire was to exit and enter with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, when he went on this journey, after they were completed, they were coming back home, and labor pains had struck Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. This was the blessings of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grant blessings in a night of yours." Now Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was disturbed because he couldn't enter Madinah Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that condition, he cried out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, you know my love and desire is to enter with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but now I'm in this position." Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. And Allah SWT removed the labor pains. As Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha had said, let's carry on, the pains are gone. As soon as they entered Madina Munawwara, labor pains had struck again and she had given birth. Before doing anything, Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha told her son Hazrat Anas, take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Hazrat Anas and he said, this is probably the child of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for some ajwa dates and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made tahniq. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam named this child Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Ulama explain and ulama mention that Abdullah had 13 children after that. What is the lesson that we learn? Firstly is the patience of this mother. She didn't complain. She understood that this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly we learn is that again the submission to the command of Allah. And no asking why. Asking, oh Allah. She never asked questions. Why you did this to me, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why you didn't do it to somebody else? She understood that this is the command of Allah. I will accept it as it is. So my dear brothers, there are many, many incidents. The incident of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the ship, when he was in the belly of the whale, then in that condition, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. That there is no deity beside you, O Allah. Glory be to you. I was from the oppressors. I was from the wrongdoers. Accepted his fault, placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed that difficulty from him. So my dear brothers, let us take this lesson of submission in any condition, in anything, any facet of our life, that immediately we ask ourselves, that will my Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be happy with me? How should I be in this condition? How should I act in this condition? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to follow his commands and to follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.